Go ahead and take our Bibles tonight to the book of Matthew, chapter number 20. Matthew, chapter number 20. As I said last week, we're going to get back to Ephesians sometime very soon. I know the Lord kind of laid something on my heart once again, and I'm sure sometime on Wednesday nights we will go through part of the book of Ephesians. We were going through 1 Kings. We moved it to Sunday morning as we go through the stories of Elijah, even the stories of maybe Elisha. And last week we looked at on Sunday night, who's the one truly troubling and who's the one that's really troubling, or who's really the problem? And remember how Ahab looked at Elijah and said that thou art the one that's trouble with Israel. And so we looked at that, and now we're looking at Matthew chapter number 20. You know, I spent the week with, it wasn't a ton of kids. I think there was about 16, and most of them stayed overnight. The younger ones had to go home, but it reminded me of some things, and I guess I'd like to share a few things from my heart, and help us understand. Don't just say, I love you. Don't just say, I love you. Now, when we hear people say, I love you, usually we treasure those words. Jesus, when he says, and the Father hath loved you, so have I loved you, continue ye in my love. It's one thing to say that I love you, but there's also something completely different to live a life that says it over and over and over. And as a believers and as a church, we are commanded to love one another, talking about the believers, but also commanded to love the world. And also we're supposed to reach out to the world. 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18 says this: Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and see if his brother have need, and shut up of his bowels of compassion for him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. What I get from that last verse, when it says, just don't do it with our mouths. It should be done with deed and in truth. Many times we hear people say, I love you, but in all reality, they don't show that with their lives. The life of the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated throughout of it was love. He expressed his love in his word, but he also expressed his love throughout many stories in the Bible. I'm going to take you to one of my favorite stories, and it's the one that is associated with, I believe, blind Bartimaeus. And some people say it's two different events, but I believe it's the same event. It's just worded a little bit differently. There's a second guy that's there. It doesn't say that Bartimaeus was the only guy there in the book of Mark. But here in this story, we see Jesus showing his love to someone that most people wouldn't show love to. And we're going to look at some different characteristics in that, and then we're going to look at what we miss out on when we don't show love to others. So let's go ahead and look in this story. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 20, verse number 28. The Word of God said, and if you don't know this verse by memory, let me encourage you to get it. It's one of the great verses in the Bible, something we should keep near and dear to our hearts. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. So as the Son of God, as Son of Man, Jesus could have came to earth any way he wanted to. He could have been someone that was treated like royalty. He didn't do that. He teached us and showed us something, that he came to this world not to be ministered unto. He didn't come to this world. He didn't come as God, so that way people would treat him like God. He came to be a minister to others. And that gives us an example. And I think it's nice how it just goes right into the story, as he's going to help a couple people that most people would not worry about helping. Let's go ahead and read here. Verse 29, and as they departed from Jericho. Now, there's a spot in the Bible where in divine Bartimaeus' story is as they came into Jericho. You say, well, there's a difference there. No, there was an old Jericho, and then there was a new Jericho. So it could have been just transferring from one spot to another. And it says, it came from Jericho. Now, look who's there with him. It's a great multitude. At this point in time, Jesus is very popular. He's on the way to the cross. Now, there's people that are following him, hundreds, probably thousands that are there. They're there for the miracles. Some people are there to watch him to make sure he doesn't do anything wrong. Some are there to learn from him. And he says, and as they departed Jericho, a great multitude was following him. So I want you to picture the scene here. As Jesus is in the middle, there's probably at least hundreds, if not thousands, around him, because it's a great multitude. There's people in front of him, there's people behind him, and there's people to the side of him too. And as they're going through, and they said, and behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." So they begin to cry out. They heard about Jesus. Now, here's another thing is, how'd they hear about him? Somebody had to tell them. How is anybody else going to hear? Somebody has to tell them about it. So they hear about Jesus, and they know that no one else is going to be able to help them except for this one. And because of that, they are crying out to him. It's a beautiful example we looked at in the past about not letting people get in your way when you're going to Jesus. Cry out to him. Doesn't matter if other people tell you that they don't care and that he doesn't hear. He's not going to hear. He just continue to cry out. And you see the results here. And he says, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." And it says the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. They told them to be quiet. They said, and I can imagine when some of the disciples and the other people were there, "You're not worthy of Jesus. He's too busy for you." And they're there and they're crying out. They have the need. A blind person back then they didn't have the social system they have now. Pretty much they would be carried out to a certain spot. They'd be left there and then someone would help them get back. If they're able to, maybe it was close enough to where they lived at, they might be able to get there on their own. But they probably sat there at the same spot every single day yelling, "Alms for the poor, alms for the poor," depending on other people to help them. And so as we continue on the story, we see here that they're on the wayside. They heard that Jesus passed by. They cry out and the multitude rebukes him. And they told him, "You should be quiet." But it says, but they cried the more. They didn't listen. Don't let anybody ever tell you that you shouldn't get to Jesus. They cried the more, saying, "Have mercy on us." They realized that they needed God's mercy. When we realize how much we need God's mercy, we won't be prideful. We'll be someone who cries out for it. "Thou son of David." Now look in that next phrase. "And Jesus stood still." Now, I don't know about you, even though you can be very loud, and we've been around some kids this week that could be loud, but if there's 1,000 people that's there and they're all talking, they're all excited, they're probably, Jesus is in the center of them, you know, two guys over here talking at the top of their voice, Jesus might not ever be able to hear them. But because he's God, and even God in the flesh, as he's there, he hears them, and it says that he stops and he stands still. Now, the people in the multitude said, "You're not even worthy to bother Jesus with your cries. Just be quiet." And the 1,000 that was around them are there. Jesus wasn't stopping to talk to them. Now, if they would have cried out in mercy and in need, sure, he would have helped them. But he saw someone with a need, and he cried out, and it says that he stood still. And the other sermon that I preached years ago, we talked about how Jesus is willing to stand still and listen to your problems. Even though he's in control of all the world and everything that's going on, he still stands still and will still listen to your need today, whatever it is. I know that's not really the message of tonight, but it's still the reality that when you have a need, he will stand still, listen. And he says, Jesus stood still and called him and said, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" So he's asking, what is it that you want me to do to you? Now, picture this, the guy's blind. Both guys are blind. Now, it's pretty obvious, right? He wants to receive his sight. Now, why does Jesus make him say what they want? Now, let's remember, when we pray, we're saying, "I can't do it myself, God. I need you." He wants them to understand that they're coming to him and saying, "I know you can help me, and I can't help myself. I'm asking for your mercy. I don't deserve it, but I like for your mercy." And many times we say, "Well, God knows about my need. Why do I need to tell him?" But he taught us in his model prayer, what? "Give us this day our daily bread." Most of us don't have a problem with just getting some bread. And you know, most of us have plenty of bread. But Jesus wants us to understand that everything we have is dependent upon him and that he has given it to us. And here in this story, he's telling him, he says, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" And they said unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." He said the obvious thing, but the wonderful thing is they asked for the impossible. And when we're considering this passage, when it's talking about praying, they're asking for the impossible. I wonder how many times we ask God for the impossible. So often when we pray, we ask for the little things, like maybe a new cane, a new seeing eye dog is what they might ask for. But no. He says, "I know that you're God, and I'm asking you to do the impossible in my life." And I know that we're not talking about prayer per se with this, but it's a great passage of scripture. But when we consider this, Let's make sure that we're not limiting God with our unbelief, but instead that we believe that God can do the impossible even in our own life. So it says in verse number 34, so Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately they received their sight and they followed him. So let's look at a couple things tonight. I want you to see how Jesus demonstrated something and showed that he loved people. First thing I want you to think about is Jesus cared for individuals, not just crowds. Now, in a church our size, I know, you know, some people say that some people's churches are really, really tiny and some people's churches are really, really big. Now, I grew up in a church that was bigger than ours. And so when I think our church, I tell people sometimes we have a small church and then they come visit our church and says, man, your church is huge. We're used to having 20 people on Sunday morning. I says, well, you call it what you want. I think we have a nice sized church. I love knowing all your names. I love knowing where, you know, things about you. And sometimes in a larger church, the pastor doesn't get a chance to know all that. And obviously, do we want more people to come? Of course, we want to see more people saved, we want to see people baptized, we want to see them discipled, and then we want sometimes to be sent out to do other work. But staying here, that's great. But Jesus here does not just care about the crowds. He demonstrates his love. Don't just say, I love you to the world. He cares about the individuals. As they left, Jesus is on his way to the cross, and you see that he's taking care about individuals. There's people there. The crowds didn't think they were worthy of Jesus, but Jesus did. Now, you think about it. If there's 1,000, there might be more than 1,000, might be hundreds. I know the number keeps on growing. That's what preachers do, right? They keep on growing the number. But there's a big group that's there. He could have spent his time talking to all those people and teaching them and training them and doing what he thought, but he took time for the individuals. And in a church our size, sometimes our youth groups are tiny. Right now we don't have a big youth group, and sometimes the kids' ministry is bigger, and sometimes, you know, there's only a few people in a Sunday school class, and sometimes, I want you to understand, we should care about individuals. It's not about the crowds. It's about the people that God has given us to reach. They're just as important as anyone else. And so as Jesus is there and he's walking, he hears the call of these two men, and it says he stood still and he cared about the individuals. Now, obviously, does he care about the crowds? He sure does, but he cares about them individually. It is important for us to remember this is a great lesson. Our world today is becoming less and less personal, and we have a wonderful opportunity to show a caring, accepting testimony. Isn't that the gospel? Except the gospel's for everyone. It reveals how beautiful the gospel is because they care about each and every one. Now, we talk about loving loss, the living the lost world. But the lost world is filled up with what? Lost individuals. And I think we've lost sight of that in praying for people as a group and say, reach the lost. Well, we need to learn how to realize it's one individual at a time. Now, this past week, we did something, junior camp, and it was, like I said, there was probably 16, and about 14 of them made it through, maybe 13 of them made it through, and that's what happens at junior camp. Somebody gets sick, somebody gets hurt, things like that, but, you know, throw 13 of them, and you say, why in the world would you spend so much time and invest so much in it? Because it's not about the crowds. It's about the individuals. They're all individuals, they're all souls, and they're something that we need to make sure we focus on. So first of all, Jesus demonstrates his love. He doesn't just say, I love you, because he cares about the individual and not just the crowds. The next thing is, he listens to the needs of others. Look what it says in verse number 30. And behold, the two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. Now, I want you to think about it. He actually stops and listens to them. Now, sometimes we say we care about individuals, and when there's kids there, and sometimes they're trying to get your time there, and they're saying, excuse me, or Pastor Pease, and you know, you got 10,000 different things you're doing. Half the time, I don't have time to listen to them. We say we care about the individuals, and we do care about them, but when you're in the middle of doing different things, it's more than just saying, I love that individual, that's great, that's wonderful, but do we sit down and take time to listen to them? Do we? I mean, that's what Jesus is stopping right now, to listen to the individual. He's showing his love. It's not just saying, yes, I care about the individual. Yes, we got a smaller church. We think they should have classes and they should be this and that and we should care about everything should have. No, no, no. It's taking time to listen. Now, this bums me out, the fact that I want to listen to everybody. And lots of times when I don't get the time and the opportunity to spend as much time as I like with some people, it hurts my heart because I want to spend more time with people because I like listening to people. And that's something, if we would have a, Jesus demonstrates this. He takes time to stop by and he listens to them. He stood still. Not only did he listen, he spent time with them. It kind of goes hand in hand when they're there. He listens to the needs of others and he spends time with them. There's a great contrast between be quiet. Jesus doesn't have time, you're not right, and standing still. Now, we don't always have the chance to stand still, but when we do have it, let's make sure we take that advantage. Let's make sure that we're not just saying, yes, I love the world. Let's make sure we're saying we love individuals. And as we loved individuals, let's make sure that we're taking the time to listen to their needs. Sometimes we get so busy with working with details of ministry projects, we fail to minister to the individuals that we're trying to reach. And I liked it this week, and it was a constant reminder throughout the week is, you know, people wanting your attention and not always having the chance to just sit and talk to them. And if we sit there and you go through and you do all these things, okay, you accomplished this, you finished this, but have you made a difference because you haven't taken the time to listen? And we're hustling from one place to another place. That's a challenge, but we live busy lives. We don't accomplish as much as we used to, it seems like, but we are busy from one spot to another spot to another spot. But if we're not going to take time to spend time with people and listen to people to try to help them, I wonder how much we're really demonstrating and showing I love you to them. I care about you. I want to see you grow. I want to see you become a Christian. It's important. Someone will take time with them. The question is, will we demonstrate our love by taking time with them? And the next thing is, look in verse number 32. Jesus did what he could to meet their needs. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" Now, obviously, we're not God. Obviously, we can't look at somebody who's blind and say, "What do you want me to do? Well, give me my sight." We can't do that. But there are times when we can be a blessing and try to help somebody with their resources. And I'm not saying that we should give to every person that's standing on the side of the road with a sign, you know, with some type of sign, because many times those people are not telling the truth. But the Bible said, as we talked about earlier, it says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's goods and see if his brother have need," and remember, there's a mention there talking about the brother in Christ have need, "and shut up of his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" So I'm not saying that you need to go and run and take care of every single need, but at the same time, when God speaks to our hearts about being a blessing to someone, and isn't that amazing how we can have a need that nobody else knows about and someone comes along and says, "Here, God spoke to my heart, he wants me to help you with this." There's nothing greater than seeing God work in somebody's else's life to be a blessing to someone else. And I get the privilege of hearing the story sometimes. I even get a privilege of being a part of that story. And it's an amazing thought there. I remember one year, I was trying to remember exactly what happened. We were, and it's nobody that's here tonight, so don't have to worry about figuring it out. Christmas dinner, we have Christmas dinner here. And sometimes when we're here, and most years we're here around Christmas time, and when people don't have a place to go, we get, you know, different church members, different family members. There was an individual who had signed up to come, and then they took their name off the list. And they said, I said, "Why'd you take your name off the list?" I knew they didn't have anything else to do. And they said, "I don't have any money to bring something, so I'm not going to go." Now, obviously, we don't do it for that reason. But I said, I'll give you something so you can make it. No, I don't want it to come from you. It's Christmas. He said, "The only way I wanted to bring it." And then somebody 2 days later came up to me and says, I can't come to the Christmas dinner, but I want to give you money so that way someone else can come. And I went and told him that God spoke to someone else. It was amazing how that person was rejoicing because they wanted to be a part of it, but they didn't feel comfortable with it. But God met that need. And it happens all the time when we allow God to work in our hearts so we can help meet the needs of others. Something very simple, something very small, but it's something that is showing love in deed and in truth. It's not just with our tongue. It's demonstrating it. And it's caring about the individual. It's taking time to listen. It's taking time to spend time. And last but not least, it's having compassion. Now you might say, "Pastor, that's all the things that are..." No. See, I think you can actually spend time with someone, and you can even sit there and listen. And you're like, okay. And you can even pull out your wallet and say, well, here, I want to help you, and never truly feel their hurt. Never let it affect your heart. Oh, yeah, I know I'm supposed to do that. We were talking about the Church of Ephesus in Revelations 2 today, how they did all those wonderful things. But Jesus said that they had left their first love. And this morning, when I was preaching the last closing session in junior camp, it was like this idea here that we do everything out of love for God. And sometimes we get busy doing this and doing this and doing that and doing this and have all those things that we've done. But it says that Jesus had something on them. It says that he had compassion on them. That word compassion refers about feeling others' hurts. Earlier people would... they would turn around and they would question why these people are blind. Did they sin? Did their parents sin? All those different things. But in all reality, Jesus wasn't judging them. Jesus wasn't trying to do something that was going to make them feel better just because he wanted to get them to be quiet. He loved them and demonstrated that love, that care. So whether you want to use the word loving the world and trying to reach the world, or if you just want to use it as a duty that God's called you to do, first thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to be willing to listen and spend time. You're going to have to be willing to help meet that need. And many times that need is a spiritual need, and you can help break that need. And you come, Jesus is showing us, is not just about saying, I love you. It's about demonstrating that. It's easy to say, I love you. It's hard to live a life sometimes that shows it, though. One more thing here. And the way that Jesus showed, I loved you. And you might say, this is a little bit of a reach, but I think it's a good thing, is Jesus touched the lives of those that was hurting. Touched their lives. Now, you see here, it says in verse number 34, so Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. You know me, I'm not really a touchy-feely guy. At least I try not to be. I think, and I try to be pretty hands-off when it comes to things like that. I'm just not that touchy-type feely guy. But I think we should touch the lives of others. I think we should. I think we should reach out and try to touch the lives of others. And when we're considering all the things that I looked at kids this week, and some from low income and some from what we consider middle income, we see all the different things and see all their faces. You know what? I want to touch your lives. I want to try to help. I don't want to just touch your lives. I want to try to touch everyone's life. Whether you've been saved for 30 or 40 or 50 years, or you're a guy that never accepted the gospel, God can use us to touch the lives of others. Now, obviously, our touch is not going to be able to open their eyes, but the touch that we have to be able to give to others is something that we can show them the love of God. So we went through all that to say, okay, if you don't want to do that, you're going to miss some great opportunities. If you don't want to demonstrate love to others, and sometimes it's unique, and sometimes we don't feel comfortable around others, you might miss some opportunities. And let's not just talk about for the lost, but let's talk about maybe for immature Christians. Anybody know that sometimes Christians that first get saved, they need some help? I don't know about you when you were first got saved, but I know when I was growing up, I needed a lot of help. I can tell you some stories that you guys would be like, you really said that? You really did that? I was a mess growing up. But I was thankful for the person that sat down and took time with me, for the person that invested in me, showed my need. I got many years, I got my way paid to camp, and God called me to preach when I was at camp. I was thankful for those people in my life. And now I want to be someone like that. I think we should all have that desire. But what's the opportunity you miss when you're not willing to show and demonstrate love to others? The first thing I think you miss is the blessing of evangelism. When we don't reach out to others, we miss the blessing of evangelism. Think about it. If we don't demonstrate the love of Christ, many times we're not going to be able to share the gospel of Christ with them. Many times, and I know it's not something we can work up. I know it's the Holy Spirit of God using us and leading us. But I wonder if those guys that were saying, hey, be quiet, he don't care about you, if they went back next week and sat down and said, hey, do you want to hear about Jesus? They had the opportunity to meet him, but now they want to go and spend time with them and say, hey, you need the gospel. I wouldn't want to listen to someone told me that I wasn't worthy enough. But sometimes that's the way we act to people that we don't feel comfortable around. You know, we might yell at them in the car because they cut you off, but then you're sitting there knocking on the door and say, hey, can I invite you to Faith Baptist? And you recognize them like, oh, I shouldn't have said that to that guy in the store or that waitress or that waiter. Please, if you're going to mouth off to a waiter or waitress, don't leave a church track. Leave one that's blank, that doesn't have anybody's name on it. Or leave one with one of the other churches' name in the air. I'm just joking. But at the same time, let's remember we miss the blessing of evangelism. You know, there are things in our church. You know, there's baptism, there's the Lord's Supper. There are standards for leadership, and there's standards. Even I think that there's certain things you're supposed to follow as a member. But, you know, when we get sit there and say, oh, that person doesn't need the gospel, we miss the chance to evangelize them. Second thing, I think when you don't reach out to others, we miss the blessing of perspective. You know, all of us have grown up in different ways, different areas, different levels maybe. Some of you grown up down south. Most of you grew up down south. You know, I'm from Maryland, so, you know, it was 29 years up north. Now, I'm 16 years in the south now, so pretty soon I'm hoping to pass that 29 years so I can officially become a southerner, but I don't know if it works that way or not. But you miss perspective. You know, Lazarus and his sisters, they were sitting there at their house. They were having a meal. They were feasting together. That's one thing. The Pharisees, you know, that they were higher upper class. People would go and just watch what was happening. But this blind Bartimaeus here, and maybe, I don't know when he was blind, but he probably never had a crowd come over for dinner, at least not something that he cooked. And there's a perspective there that Bartimaeus had that no one else would have known unless you'd been in Bartimaeus' spot or if you sat and took time to listen to Bartimaeus. Now, there's all different perspectives from all different people. I think there's some people in this room that are a lot smarter than me. I think there's some people in this room that's probably just as smart as I am. I don't know if there's anybody in this room as dumb as I am, but there's different perspectives we have. You think about the woman that was taken in adultery. You think about demon-infested Mary Magdalene. All those different people are people that Christ was able to touch because they had a perspective. And sometimes I think if we learn either from a non-believer or even that immature Christian that we come from, they might look different, they might act different, they might dress different, but aren't they still a soul that Christ died for? And we can learn something from them to help reach them. Remember, we don't need more Brian Pieces. We need more people that are going to become like Christ. And sometimes if we don't learn to listen from them and if we don't feel comfortable around them because they don't act just like us and they don't do things just like we do, it's not a country club atmosphere we're looking for. It's an atmosphere that we're trying to raise more people to become like Christ. And I know sometimes in our churches, in our circles, you got to do this right, you got to do this right, you got to do this right. And there's some things that we think are important, and we won't complain about that, and we won't even shy away from that. But at the same time, you miss the perspective that might help you reach somebody else. And last but not least, you miss the blessing of evangelism perspective. You also miss the blessing of influence. Don't we want to be world changers? I know, you know, I don't want to be a world changer. Well, Jesus said, go out into all the world and preach the gospel. And didn't just preach it just so that way they stay the same. He wants us to change the world. He wants to change the direction of our nation. I know some chuckled when Mr. Bill's prayer request, but at the same time, if we want to change our nation, we're going to have to be praying people. We're going to be people that are willing to reach out to our communities and be able to have influence in others and influencing this world for Christ. I want to influence our world for Christ. Now, we won't do that unless we not just say I love you, but demonstrate I love you. So I want to encourage you tonight. You know, when I was sitting there and I said, you got all that from Junior Camp. Well, you know, these are things through the blind Bartimaeus we looked at and consider, and you see, there are a lot of people that need help. And there are a lot of people that could use someone who just doesn't say, oh, I love you, and pat on your head and walk away, but instead to take time to help to disciple them and reach them for Christ. It's not just about crowds. We've been to camps where there was hundreds of kids, and sometimes they're kind of scary to have all those kids there together, but thankfully they have counselors. Hopefully they have counselors. But it's about the little individual looking up at you, and that as a soul for Christ that someone's going to influence someday. And God's given you an opportunity to be that person. So Jesus here takes time for these two that nobody else wanted to take time for. He wasn't there for all the thousands in the crowd, but instead he was there and he stopped to help these two. He listened to their needs. He helped meet their needs. He spent time with them. He had compassion on them and he touched their lives. Now, obviously, Jesus could do whatever he wanted to with them, but look what it says at the end of verse number 34. And they followed him. If Jesus had just ignored them, would they ever have followed him? No, they wouldn't have. If we just ignore them, are we ever going to reach them? We're not. So, when it comes to our job with the world, we sing songs about loving and wanting to reach the world. Or reach souls, because we want to be like our Father, which is in heaven. What does he love? For God so loved the world, he desires that. Let's not just say, I love you. Let's be like Jesus and demonstrate that we love you too. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.